Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast, Sunday Strategy Session. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to talk about some basically season prep. So in prior episodes, we've talked about, you know, startup prep. Let's talk about some existing team stuff. So I think for the really at the outset here, what I would say is make sure you're checking in with your team tracker, right? And I think that is something that's pretty valuable. You know, and some of the stuff that's on there, you just it'll tell you your exposure of players. It'll tell you your how many rosters you have, you know, Damian Harris on, for example, you know, and take a look at all that. The other thing you should probably be doing is, how's your team better? How's your team worse? Right? I think that's something to really update and think about right now, because we're getting more information. Some of the rookie stuff that we had, right? Some of the information that we did initially in that might have changed, right? And so that would be something to look at. The next thing you might think about doing is thinking about in that, you know, updating potential storylines that you need to monitor, right? You got 6 or 7 one injury away guys, but, you know, listen, if they don't break great, like running back 2 is not going to look great, right? And so that might be a way you could potentially make yourself better. Include that as a potential to-do list. Right, monitor, hey, August, you know, are things breaking this way? If not, like, maybe we're in the market for potentially adding a running back or adding a receiver, if that's the case, you know, doing all those things. And then include in there too, once you sort of are looking through some of your exposure stuff we'll talk about in a minute, include in there, hey, listen, this might be a scenario where I want to sell a player, right? This might be a team that I could sell it off of, right? I could sell, I've got a ton of Mike Davis, you know, I could take a profit on Mike Davis. And listen, this is a team, you know, that maybe doesn't fit necessarily a this year contending window. So I'll sell Mike Davis here, right? I think that's a way to think about it. And so put that down as a note, and then you kind of know to do that, put that in your to-do list. So again, the big things, I think, in terms of the individual teams that you want to track, how am I getting better? How am I getting worse? Right. What's my to-do items? And then, you know, think about, look realistically at how you're better or how you're worse than you were last year. And, you know, I'm not sure if I'm contending. Well, like, you know, a lot of players perform relatively similar to what you did last year. So over the course of your team, you know, if you're sort of relying on the same wide receivers and the same quarterbacks, you know, running backs can be different, but you sort of get an idea, all right, like what needs to go, what type of leaps am I expecting? Do I need Justin Herbert to be quarterback 1 to be really contending? If that's the case, I'm probably in trouble. Right. Is my team built almost entirely around, you know, I have a team that's going to be largely reliant on Mahomes and Allen. And if that's the case, right, I have to sort of build around, you know, it's a contending now. But I have a lot of holes at other spots because it cost me a lot to sort of get those two guys. And as a result, that's, you know, you have to kind of fill in that. You kind of know what you're building towards and the type of risk that you need to take. So, but that's a high floor situation, right? I'm probably going to be pretty good, right? If I have those guys, like even if I'm starting replacement level guys, I'm probably pushing a playoff spot. So that's really the thing that you're thinking about. Again, then there's downside on that too. The question that I would have is, like, if you're thinking about that, you know, what's the quarterback 3 that should be in place in the Allen Mahomes build? And it's like, well, you could go with a Fitzpatrick, but I'm actually not sure Fitzpatrick's going to help me much, because if Mahomes gets hurt, like, just the structure of this team, it's not really built to win if Mahomes isn't killing it. And so that's, you know, a situation where, do I need Ryan Fitzpatrick, or do I need, you know, upside shots at other positions, right? Is it actually better to try and take a longer term build guy because that could be a potential asset I can use in the future? And I think that's a debate you can sort of have. And listen, if Mahomes, you know, goes and gets hurt, if Allen gets hurt, something like that, then all of a sudden, like, all right, you might have to reshape your team a little bit, and maybe it's still a hugely high floor situation, but maybe it's not a 2021 build. Maybe it's a 2022 build. You could sort of rework the back end of your roster sort of through that lens. I think the idea of what your third quarterback is, it can fit a lot of different ways. And I think it can fit, you know, is this a contending team? Is this quarterback going to matter though? Right? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to matter in the scheme of keeping my floor high? You know, if my quarterback is, you know, Ryan Tannehill, yeah, Fitzpatrick's probably going to help. If my quarterback's Jared Goff or Matt Ryan, Fitzpatrick's probably going to help. If you're sort of backing up, a team that's super structured around, you know, two elite quarterbacks, he might not help, right? So balance those ideas. Yeah, it's an individual case-by-case thing. That's an extreme example, obviously, with Mahomes and Allen, and then relatively thin at other spots, right? That's an extreme example. But just think about those kinds of things with each of your teams, right? Go through the whole process. And now you got a lot of time right now. This is process time. And not going to be a ton of information, new information. So we're going to need to talk about process. Think about process. I think that's a big one. All right. So next thing is constantly looking at profiles, you know, and looking at your teams and thinking, all right, like how can I trade profile X for profile for a similar profile plus something, right? Or how do I do that to make to maybe address a need? How do I do that to potentially accumulate future assets? You know, how do I move from, you know, Jonathan Taylor to Antonio Gibson plus, for example? You know, and what type of other things can I sort of backfill on that deal to either fill a need, fill a future asset, you know, give me flexibility, all of those things. So I'm constantly doing that, you know, doing it at receiver in particular, because I don't think the downside moving down at the receiver position isn't typically that harmful. It's not typically, you know, moving from, you know, outside of injury, but moving from, you know, DeAndre Hopkins to Allen Robinson, for example, isn't going to hurt you that much. Right, typically, maybe it's probably less than a half a win in their normal range of outcomes. But what else can you add in that's worth more than that? Right, you might be able to bridge that gap. You know, if it's a second to a first, for example, that bridges that gap. So, constantly looking at profiles, constantly trying to arbitrage those things, arbitrating quite a bit right now. This next one, so this is actually technically number three in terms of the headings. Let's look at exposures. Part of the team tracker will track who you have a lot of shares of, right? Who, you know, it'll basically track all your shares. And when you're doing that, you want to know, you know, I have a ton of Jonathan Taylor. Like, do I feel good about Jonathan Taylor? Or I have none of Dalvin Cook. Do I feel good about that? Right, thinking about those things, and maybe there's a trade to be made in there. Right, that's something to think about. One thing I think too is a sort of a corollary to that is not even it's in addition to looking at the exposures, thinking about what the play is, and this is something that I think we have players with and we want to sell, we want to be in trades. And that's all natural. That's all good. That's kind of what we want to do. That's why we play the game. But thinking too about the fact that sometimes the right trade isn't to make it now, right? Sometimes the right trade, I'll give you an example, Damian Harris. We're never going to get what we should for Damian Harris right now. But I think there's a very realistic chance that Sony Michel's not there. There's a chance that James White gets cut. If either of those two things happen, or, you know, if that's an August story, Damian Harris is probably going to be a sell candidate. You know, but I'll tell you, if Damian Harris, if those things don't happen, but Mac Jones becomes a starter and then Damian Harris kind of goes off to start the season, right, then that maybe is a sell window. So I think like in the next maybe 6 months or so, you're going to see some sort of sell window for Damian Harris that you don't have at present right now. So that's not something to get frustrated about. It's something to just think about in terms of your, in terms of your structure, in terms of your, in terms of your plan. Kind of know that and listen. Like Damian Harris is probably going to be more of a preseason week one through regular season week four type of trade candidate instead of right now, and that's okay. But you just kind of got to know that. And don't get frustrated by the fact that he's relatively illiquid right now and that you might not be able to include him in a deal that you think you should be able to. I think because it's probably going to move and you're going to have an opportunity. So that's certainly one to think about. The other thing too is on that same sort of scale, you know, think about the risk profiles of some of the guys that you have. Right? What are the risks that T. Higgins faces, for example? T. Higgins probably faces the risk that Tyler Boyd's pretty good. He faces the risk that Ja'Marr Chase is pretty good. You're expecting kind of a lot from him. And how do you sort of move off of that to, you know, I think the market's expecting a lot of him. And do we think that's realistic? Maybe, but maybe not, right? And is there a move to be made? And maybe now's the time to do that instead of waiting a couple weeks into the season where he's got, you know, 8 targets through 2 games and you're kind of like, eesh, this isn't great. Now we kind of have an idea of where we're going with this. We don't want to necessarily do that. That is something I think you can really look to do now, right? So kind of understanding those differences in profiles, the differences in sort of the arcs of where these guys are going, I think that'll help you. So, and I'm going to do a series on that with some of the guys that I have here. I'll be looking at some exposures, thinking about, you know, different things that we can do. But yeah, so that's identify the timeline of a potential sale. That goes along with you looking at your exposures and thinking about how they fit strategically. The last thing that I would say is understand that your team aim. And this could always be the first thing that I would say. You know, what are you trying to do? And that'll tell you what we're looking to, you know, how we might go about it. So this is a good example of, you know, if you're contending, think about how you're going to contend and then think about how you can sort of strengthen that, diversify that, or ensure that. Right. So listen, I'm going to throw out, you know, I've got a pretty good core at running back. I'm going to throw out, a couple of mid-level quarterbacks, and I got some depth at tight end. That's kind of how I'm going to roll. Right. Well, how do I sort of make that better? Right. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick can play there? For example, I just use him just because I think he's relevant. And he's sort of flexible in terms of how you could think about using him. Is that could potentially backfill and make my, you know, that could insure me a little bit. Heck, it could even offer me some upside. That could offer me upside over, you know, if things don't go well for Ryan Tannehill or things don't go well for Jared Goff. Ryan Fitzpatrick could both insure that and potentially offer an upgrade. He could potentially start over those guys, theoretically. Over Goff, I think for sure. You know, think about those things, right? That's, I think, a way to be building right now. The other thing too is think about what you need to contend, right? Again, we talked about this earlier, but if you're not going to contend unless something extreme happens, you can take on some more risk. Because if you need an extreme thing, you know, we're not just swinging at pinatas with drunkenly swinging at pinatas with blindfolds on, but understand like, hey, this team's probably middling and I'm probably not a contender, but listen, if I go out and I make a dynasty trade and I trade for Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson puts up 2.5 warp, right? All of a sudden I'm a good contender. But I'm making a dynasty trade, and I can sort of afford to do that because I'm taking the long view, I'm taking the long game, and I've got the ability and I've got kind of the risk to, I've got the appetite for risk because my team's not that great. So that's a big thing that I'd be thinking about too, with your individual, you know, you're looking big picture in terms of players you're interested in, but then you're looking at some of the individual plays that you can make. And I think different teams, you can have different plays that you'll be willing to make. Again, different formats will be conducive to that too. You know, Watson's got less downside in a start one, for example, than he does in a super flex, right? Because you can much easier fill that in. So that's a different way to think about it as well. You know, the tight end premium aspect. If you're playing a lot of tight end premiums, you know, shifting some of the risk that you have in terms of some of your tight ends from, you know, to, you know, having high floor tight ends in some of these tight end premium leagues makes a lot of sense. Some of the riskier ones down, you know, that can hurt a little bit if you whiff. But if you're in basically standard start one, no premium, and you whiff, like, it's easier to kind of figure out and cover up, you know, and cover up that weakness and, you know, figure that out down the line. So those are some things I'd think about too. Again, one last thing I think is to think about some storylines that might happen that maybe the market's not necessarily on. So that goes back to some of the Harris stuff. I think that's appropriate. You know, and thinking about some of the contractual stuff that we've thought about, you know, let's think about ways to backfill our roster with some opportunities that could potentially be upticks, you know. This is the Jordan Love situation, right? Are we thinking that that's something that could actually happen? You know, that's one. You know, is Blake Bortles, for example, someone that, listen, if this Rodgers thing goes poorly and so does the Jordan Love experience, Blake Bortles has some opportunity, right? So that's some different ways to think about storylines that could happen here. Again, maybe that's not one we're super, super interested in. But looking at some other stories, right? Thinking about some of the risk about the contract stuff. You know, Nick Chubb could potentially change significantly in terms of his contract. And I think that's things to think about. And if he does that put Kareem Hunt at risk? Because I think that might happen. You know, or does that make a risk for Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry, right? All of those things I think are things that we can look at and think about, you know, monitor here going forward, potential buy, sell opportunities, thinking about it in a global perspective. Again, and one of the things that I love to do this time of year is write it down, because, you know, if it's taking notes, if it's typing it out, because that way you can sort of harken back to it. You can sort of reevaluate your process, thinking about things that you did last year, thinking about, you know, hey, was that right? Was it right for the right reason? Was it right for the wrong reason? Did I get lucky? Right? Did I actually predict this? You know, all those sorts of things can really, really help you as you sort of write it down, document it, and think about things through a strategic lens. So, all right, so those are some things to think about with your team here as we're going forward. And that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.